value to Elohim. So what ends up happening, he talks about, yeah, you're fasting, but you're not fasting in the appropriate manner. And I sometimes get perplexed when you point out to people that their focus is not in alignment with that of Elohim. And most of the time, people on the outside can assess or differentiate or discern when the alignment is off, And then, but sometimes when you try to explain to that to people, it's not readily accepted. Y'all understand that? It's not ready. And the thing about it, me and my wife, back when we were young, we were in the choir. And there was a song the choir was trying to get. And it was trying to get the song so they could sing it before the other choir sung the song. And they pulled me in, and I was no songstress. I like being in the choir. I like the fellowship and all that. But we was practicing one night, and I don't know if I wasn't in a tune or with it or whatever, but all I know, my beloved Aunt Frankie Henry, sweet Frankie, looked over to me and she said, "Gene, I don't care if you are my nephew." She said, "You are flat." Well, tell you first, when she said that, I got kind of under my skin, like, wait a minute. I said, I really didn't want to put myself under all this scrutiny anyway. Because you can be in the choir and just can sing background and, and smile, and everybody, all of the reindeer will love you. But when they throw you out there with a microphone, then you get scrutinized. The people who will be in the choir, they be singing more flat than what I was, but nobody was picking on them. See what I'm saying? What happens a lot of time when your error get exposed, you're not ready many times to own up to it.
That's right.
But what happens here, the creator begins to look at the whole life of the fasting that was going on. And the reason he knew it was ineffective because it was not achieving the targeted results. Oh yeah, like I said, I was out with some of the brethren today, the theologians, and one of the pastors, we was headed to a destination, and I got there before he did, and I waited around 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes. And I thought, well, maybe he had an accident. So I turned around and went back to get him. And then I saw him coming back around, and so I just did a U-turn and followed him back. And then he told me, says, I had a flat tire and I had to get some air discount tire. And neither one of us was expecting that. But in the final analysis, he had to make some quick repair activity to get properly aligned with the commitment for us to be where we had to be. And that's why I tell people, sometimes it's just a small a correction, a small adjustment that is only just going to cost you a little time. But people get very fixated as being identified as out of alignment. And I just have never understood it, because I have in my life received what they call constructive criticism. And then the thing about it, you can do like Gomer Pyle when he's out there marching, he's on the wrong foot and everybody else is going along. And you can see it as plain as daylight when he's on the wrong foot and the other people on a different foot. And Gomer couldn't fix it. Well, you don't want to be like Gomer Pyle. You want to fix it. And then many of these corrections take a very minute level of execution. Oh yeah, yeah. What did Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar? He said, "Break off your sins."
Right.
So I said, "Just get out of the sinning business." Mm-hmm. And eventually, Nebuchadnezzar said, "Ah." He said, I looked and I acknowledged the Elohim of heaven and earth. And I realized that he is the great all.
Hallelujah.
And we are all subject to him. Yeah, eventually he made that turn. Now he went through something before he made the turn, but yet and still he was able to recognize the creator as Yahuwah mm-hmm. Elohim. And that's what we want to get to. We're not trying to embarrass nobody, but I'm gonna tell you something. It don't take that long. It really doesn't, y'all. Oh, yeah, I remember the story. I'm into my lesson, but I just want to, this is a lecture tonight. When Yosef was down there in the prison, and then Pharaoh started having dreams. And once those dreams and the inability to discern those dreams reached the level of Pharaoh's court, it didn't take the butler no 5 or 10 years to open his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
No, he said, this day I remember my fault. He said, I made a fault. I made an error in my execution. He said, there's a man down there in Pharaoh's prison or dungeon. He can answer the interpretation of the dream that you have. You see what I'm saying? Some of these things, y'all, they're not rocket science, but it come down to the song saying, my stubborn will. And that goes against the program of Elohim. And every time it goes against the program of Elohim, we don't produce the desired results. So then he had to tell him, he said, what you're doing in your fasting, your supplication, he said, it is not working. It's not working. So that's what's going on in verse 4 and 5. And then in verse 6, and he's not going to disenfranchise you over your inability without showing you what his design intent is. And he wouldn't put the responsibility, he wouldn't put the intent out there if he knew you couldn't get there.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows that he knows our uprising and our downset. He knows the number of hairs on our head, y'all. So when a requirement by Elohim is made, he really expects humanity to step up. He really does. That's an expectation. The only way you can do it with understanding and wisdom. That's what you got to have. Understanding. You can make a requirement, but if you really don't understand what he's asking for, you won't be able to please him. See? Yeah. And then without faith, it's impossible to please him anyway. Mm-hmm. So your faith have to really broaden itself to comprehend, and then out of that comprehension, bring it down to the execution that will have your results in compliance. I think it's important to be in compliance with Elohim, y'all. Like I said, me and the brethren, the theologians, was up there discussing things today, and it became real clear among all of us what we need to do. And the thing that became so clear was, as we all began to correct, transform, and change our nature, change our behavioral pattern, all of us that were sitting there recognized that once you do that, it's an expectation for you to go out now and serve and work among the people of the Most High. Mm-hmm. And you know the thing, we all of us sitting around there, we know we were all workers. We all have worked and are working in and among the people of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we knew that. And then the thing that really, it was funny, and I told y'all this before, that most men that I have come in contact with, most men of color that have been around, exposed to the church setting, Most of them really want to be viewed as spiritual or religious leaders. Let me say religious. They want to be viewed as a man of age that fully comprehends what Elohim desires of them. And we were both, all three of us was going around the table, and we have a common affiliate that all three of us have worked with to help elevate the results of the work which he is reportedly doing in the kingdom. Because he'll tell you, I'm an elder just like you, and oh, I'm this and that, and and I got three Bible translations on my phone, and I, it's all that. It's all that. What I call is just smoke and mirror stuff. So I can go out and buy seven Bibles and say I got seven Bible commentary. Mean nothing if I don't read them and then be able to extract understanding and then to apply and then to have the results that Elohim's asking for. So what ends up happening? We've all talked to our affiliate, and we just self-seemingly cannot get him to the graduate level, if you let me say it like that. He likes executing there back at the pre-K level. I shouldn't say that in the spiritual setting. But my friends, one day we were all there in a little gathering, about 12 of us men of color, talking to one another, and then my one pastor who was I was with today told the fellow he gave him some direct input that caused the young man to respond to him, "Why are you calling me out?" See, a lot of time we don't want our inabilities to be announced in front of our peers. We don't like that. Nobody likes that, and I remember when I was a boy, anytime I get reprimanded in front of my peers, either at school or whatever, it's a dehumanizing activity. But think about it, I had it happen enough that I started doing things to keep me off that radar. As song said, but when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, yeah, I said I would sell it, and I sell it long ago. I quit doing a lot of stupid stuff. But when he asked my friend why was he calling him out, and my friend, the theologian today, he told me, he said, "I'm not calling you out." He said, "I'm calling you in." And that's what people don't understand. When we get information that goes against the level of execution we have, that's the creator trying to call you in. See, he's trying to call you in. The only person, only thing that's hurt is your image. But we're all into that image gig, man. And the thing I had to learn in life, it is impossible, but offenses must come. They're going to come. But see, the thing, you got to make sure that the offenses are not self-generated. It's not you causing them, but you have the scripture say, "But woe to him by whose hands they come." You got people that they're going to perpetuate these offenses. But the thing about it, you just make sure you're not giving them ammunition to make these accusations. And the thing about it, we've all, when you start getting simultaneous input from different factions, it's probably something you need to take and give attention to. And that's what Elohim was saying here today. He wanted them to fast to loosen the tight cords of wrongs. He said these were tight cords. I don't know if you've ever had a rope or something put on you that gets tied so tight that all of a sudden it's cutting off your blood circulation. Well, that's how these cords of wrongness were. These were tight. They were suffocating the life, the spiritual life, and execution of the nation of Yehuda. It was destroying the fiber of servitude that Elohim was looking for. And then they had these yokes that they just they weren't doing right by those that were poor. They were oppressing the fatherless. And Elohim just summed it all up. He said to break every yoke.
Every yoke.
See, it said right there, he said to break off every yoke. Sometimes things can get to such a level of disarray that you can't just fix one thing to make it right. You know, I remember here a while back with my granddaughter, Aaron's, when my daughter gave her that little cobalt car. Well, what happened? We were trying to move the car and get it to her. Well, there were some things that I wanted to do on that car before I let her drive it. But what was happening? We were moving so fast, and she got the car. And it had several things that I wanted to fix. Well, what I ended up doing, I knew the two things that I couldn't fix because I didn't have the tools to fix them with. So once I got my buddy in there, he saw the two things, but then he found three more things that needed to be fixed. And I was at a point where I was looking, okay, we got six, seven things. But to make the car the way I wanted it to be and the way that I know it should be, I had to fix everything that was broke. That's how I felt. So what ended up happening, the mechanic got two of them done. Then I went in and did three more. Then I took another one, the fifth one, for a guy to do for me. Then I got one more six little thing that I want to do. But I'm trying to break off every yoke. Because see, you put these young people out there and you want them to be as safe as possible. Now, somebody like me, I can take an old raggedy vehicle and I can drive it, even if it do have things that does has things that's broken. See? But scenario is we want all of our execution to be flawless in the sight of Elohim. So you got to fix everything that's not right. And
All right.
I tell people that all the time. Here's the thing about it. The longer you walk in this life, you'll find where the flaws are. Oh yeah. You drive a car long enough, and I mean drive it a year, and you'll start hearing it. And I got stuff right now that I would love to fix on one of my vehicles, but I don't know if I want to put any more money in it because sometimes you get to a point of what they call diminishing returns. If I spend $100, I'm only going to get $5 worth of effort. So that spending that $100 ain't worth it. Okay. It ain't going to help my safety. It's not going to help my gas mileage. So your life is the same way. You got to look and see where do I put the most effort? What yokes prioritize? Because you can't solve world hunger. You got to prioritize things and those things that have the greatest negative impact. We need to settle them long ago. We need to break them out. And then that break off every yoke, that break once again, the Natak, the H5423, to tear it off, to break it off, to pluck it away, to pull it out, to root it out. You know, we all know about weeding the flower bed. You got to pull the roots out to get and kill any type of weed. So that's where we want to go. That's where we want to go with this 10th month of fasting. We're going to break off every yoke. All right, the talk. Let's keep going here. Yeah. Now, why it's important, I look at this 58 verse down here. I'm taken back. He says, somebody read that first line for me because I've got it. Can y'all see the first line or not? But I don't think I can move.
Yes, sir.
Yes, read it
Then
for me.
your light would break forth like the morning, your healing spring forth speedily,
That's
And
all
your
that happens.
righteousness, all right.
Keep on going.
And your
And your
righteousness
righteousness
shall
shall
go
go
before
before
you.
you. All right, now he's showing the results of breaking off, rooting out every yoke. Yeah, and then he said the esteem of Yahuwah would be your rear guard. It would cover you from the back. We sang a song, "Be a Fence All Around Me." You need to have a protective fence around you, folks. This is not a journey that you can just go out there and rack up a bunch of miles on your own. Now you need protection. Now this, your healing spring forth. We all need to be healed. Did you know that? Oh, I'm telling you,